Kirbo says, I hope all is good. Says Daf is Ksuvas Daf Yud Ches. And we have a bunch of Seder Nezikin topics today. We're at the top of Yud Ches and Aleph. Last word on the first line is Velisni. And basically, what the Gemara is going to do right now, it's going to go back to the Mishnah. And just to finish off our discussion on this Mishnah, then we'll get to a new Mishnah on Amud Beis. It's going to suggest different possibilities for Rabbi Yeshua's case. If you remember, if you flip back to the Tesvav Amud Beis, so Rabbi Yeshua had said, he had admitted, right, that if a person says that this father, this field belonged to your father, but I bought it from him, that's what we called, right, a pesha asur hu a pesha hitir, that since we didn't know that it belonged to his father, and therefore when the guy admitted it belonged to his father, he asured it to himself, but that we're going to subsequently believe him, based on what we talked about, maybe it's amigo or whatever, but we're going to believe this person. Rabbi Yeshua is going to be moda. Right, in the case of the guy says this field was your father's, but I bought it from him. That's the case where Rabbi Yeshua says that he agrees. Right, that we're going to believe. Right, again, we had said, if you remember the last parak, right, you kind of need to know the last parak at the beginning of this parak. You don't always need to do that. But all the Mishnayos that we listed were Rabbi Yeshua himself said, we don't believe her. We don't believe her about the Yichus, about the kid, etc., etc. Rabbi Yeshua here is saying, no, I've been Mode in this case. The Gemara now says, back to Yud Ches Min Aleph, for listening, why don't we choose a different case? Why do we have to deal with a case with a father? Right, why do you have to bring in this guy's father at all? Why don't we just say, Mode Rabbi Yeshua, Ba'omer l'chavero, mana levisi mimcha uparativ lach. Why don't we just say the case where the guy says, I borrowed a money, 100, you know, whatever, 100 zuz, I think, gold coins, whatever it was, 100 zuz, and then I paid you back. And he's believed, and that's a case of Pesha Asur Shepesha Hitir. Right, that's great. Meaning we didn't know about the loan, right? But the guy admits that there was a loan and there was a chov, but he said he paid it back. So Gemara says, that case doesn't work, because if you flip back again, it kind of helps to flip back to Tess Zion and Aleph, right? Because the end of the Mishnah, what did the end of the Mishnah say, right? The im yesh edim shehisha aviv. Again, I'm reading on Tess Zion and Aleph. Right? If there are edim, though, that the field originally belonged to the father, right? Again, what happened? The guy said, field belongs to your father, but I bought it from him. So he's believed. But if there are witnesses, and we know that the field originally belonged to his father, so that's not a peshash or a peshahidir. That's not him coming to tell us something that is that qualifies, right? The restriction restricts him and then allows him. Right? It's not peshash or peshahidir. That's a case where we know the father owned the field. So in that case, it's then enoneman. So the flip side of this case, meaning the flip side of the case where the guy says, right, I borrowed 100 bucks from you and then I paid you back, that doesn't work. To do the second part of the Mishnah, it doesn't work in our suggested case. Mishum, just because, by Mishum the Kabbalah, that means they say for the second part of the Brisa of the Mishnah. Im yesh edim shulova mimenu, fu omer parativ, eno neman. Because the parallel case would be, right, I guess, again, just to go back to what we're suggesting. We're suggesting the case should be, I owed you 100 bucks, but I paid you back. Pesha aser, pesha hitir. But what's the parallel case? If there are witnesses that says that he borrowed and he says he paid them back, the halacha should be eino neman. Problem is, that's not true. Right? Again, that would be the parallel case as to the seifa of the Mishnah. Problem is, that's not true. Because if we got kaimalan, because we learned that the hamal is chavir be'idim, be'in tzarech lefar be'idim, that you don't need witnesses to pay back a loan. Even though the loan is done with edim in front, you don't need witnesses. And the borrower, the guy is believed to say that he paid him back. So since that doesn't line up, you couldn't have taught the second part of the Mishnah. So therefore, they needed the case of the field and the father. Okay, so that's the suggestion by the Gemara. The Gemara says, again, the advantage of suggesting that case would be that you don't have to bring the father into it. So now the Gemara is going to suggest a case where you don't have to bring the field into it. Right, why don't we just forget that we're still dealing with the father, because we couldn't have the parallel case by the guy. But now you're not going to bring in the field. Why would we even mention the field? Right, if you're listening, why don't we have Moder Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Omer, why don't we just say that I had a mana of your father's money, meaning I borrowed 100 bucks from him, and of Vechaltiv Pras, which in the vernacular means that I paid half of it, meaning that he's Moder B'Mikzas. Right? Shehu Neman, right? He's believed. Right? He's believed without taking a shua, right? Again, we know Mudav Mitzas is if someone says, right, if someone claims you owe me 100 bucks, the other guy says, no, it's not true, I owe him 50. So there's a shua. So why don't we say that case where it's not true, meaning that you don't even need to take the shua in this case. Since the guy himself right, pointed out that he owed him 100, but he paid him 50. That's a pesha asur, but pesha hitir. So the Gemara says, well, the problem is that nobody holds like that. Nobody holds that you don't need to take a shvua, right, because I'll leave it aman, or sort of. Meaning, as we'll see in a second, if it's a rabbanon, if it's a rabbanon shita, we're going to quote this machlokes in a second. If the rabbanon shita, ha'amri meishiv aveidah, if it's the rabbanon, so they hold that it's not even mozav miktas, right? It's not even a mozav miktas. It's like you're giving back your meishiv aveidah. You're doing a shabbos aveidah. Right? If a person says, "Oh, I owed this guy $100," right? It's like you're doing a chesed and I paid him back 50. Right? It's a chesed because you're telling him right about the chov. Right? So it's not the So it's not a case where you even ever have to take a shvuah. Again, and it doesn't make sense. Like Rabbi Yeshua would be like, oh, by the way, right, a pesha asher who a pesha hitir. According to the Chachamim, right, it's not it's regardless. I mean, he's just being how do you explain? Again, he's believed in Marashach. You don't have to come on to a pesha asher who a pesha hitir. Right, because it's as if he's just giving him back Hashem Saveda, he's just returning some random claim. Fine. So Ve'il Ibid Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Once again, we'll see that this machlokes in a second. If it's Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, so Ha'amar Shvuah Boy, right? He needs to take a Shvuah. The Tanya, what's this machlokes that we're quoting, right? That Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Omer, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, sometimes a guy will have to swear on his own shvuah. Ketzad how so? If he says, like our case, right? I had $100. My father gave me $100, but I paid him back half. So harizan ishba, that's a regular mode of a mitzvah case. This is someone who claims, right? He takes a shvuah based on his own. Based on his own claim, I mean, he, even though he advanced the claim. No, it's not even, it's because regardless, even if the other guy said that you owe him $100, that you had $100 of my father's stuff, right, it's just like a Meshav Aveda. It's not shaykh to have a shvua whatsoever. So either way, right? Again, it's not going to be. You can't use that case because if it's according to the Chachamim, it's a pesha asher. It's not a pesha asher pesha hitir case. If it's Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, so then you have to take a shvua, and Rabbi Yeshua admitting that you don't have to take a shvua, right? This is not like anybody. So therefore, you have to come onto that case of I bought this field from your father, right? Again, it belonged to your father. I bought it from him. That's a case of a pesha asher. Now, just a quick second over here. There's a whole machlokas. This is obviously a lot of modu b'mitza stuff, a lot of seder nezikin stuff. What's the reason why someone has to swear if he's modu b'mitza? So, as we'll see in a second, a person was a chazaka that a person is not going to fully deny a claim if he actually owes it. Again, a person's not going to be made part of. A person's not going to be as stubborn. As big machlokes over here, Rashi Tosos, Rashi and everybody really, why we're going to believe him. Let's just say Tosos, because I think that's a little bit more tenable for right now. Is that basically a person, when he knows the other guy knows that he owes him the money, right, he's not going to have the guts and the wherewithal to deny all of it. So he's going to claim half of it. Right? If both of us know, right, both the plaintiff and the defendant, both of them come to Beis Din, plaintiff says, you owe me $100. And everybody knows, both of them know that he owes him the $100. Guy's not going to be as chutzpah to be like, no, I don't. So that's we're concerned that when he says, oh, I only 50, so he's just trying to get out of it. So that's why we have a shvuah. Okay, right. It's not the time for all this discussion. But basically, let's just go back there. We'll see. This will come out from the Gemara. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, let's make sure Aveda Potter. So why does Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov disagree in this case of the Chachamim? Right, what do you mean? If someone who returns a Shavuos Aveda, right, that it does not need to take a Shavuot, right? This is a Mishnah in Gittin, right, as Rashi points out. Right, Rashi points out this is a Mishnah in Gittin, right? It's a Kana de Rabbanan, right? That someone who finds a Metziah does not have to swear. If someone finds a wallet, right, gives him back to somebody, and the guy claims, oh, there's only $100 in here, I lost the wallet with $200. And the guy says, well, I only found $100. Well, now we're not going to make that guy make a shvua, because then people just leave wallets. They're not going to, if they might have to take a shvua, right? People took shvuas very seriously back in the day, so they're just going to leave the wallet there. They're not going to go to the trouble of returning it. So it's right, as Rashi quotes over here, So basically, that's basically Beferish Mishnah. Now, Tosfos and other Rishonim kind of don't like that explanation because they bring proofs on that Gemara that's not actually true. The Kasha, the Gemara here, is really asking the Shad about the Araisa, meaning that the Araisa, the guy has a Migo, right? There's a Migo, he should have just kept his mouth shut. Right, and then Pesha Alger or Pesha Hitter. I shouldn't have said anything. So, all right, either way, but that's let's just see how Rashi explains, right, that the Mishnah over there seems to imply that there's a Din Derabanan, right, that a Mesha Levei, that someone who's returning a lost object, doesn't have to take a Shavua. So, why does Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, why he really disagrees with that? Seems to be straight up in the Gemara Gittin. So, Marav, Betano Katan. Now, the case over here is where the claim is a Katan, meaning the father passed away, it's a Katan here. And he, right, he said, oh, you owe money to my father. And then the guy said, no, I only know half of it. Since it's from a cotton, so that's not a case of Meshav Avedos. So Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is going to say that there is a Shavua here. So the problem is, or Amar, that we learned, the Mishnah Shavua says, Einish Bar Nal Tanis Chayashad of a cotton. Problem is that if the claim is started from a cotton, there's no Shavua. So the Gemara says, my cotton. So you're right, it's not really a cotton. It means Godol. It means not a cotton, it means a Godol. Okay, but a micro the katan. So why are we calling him a katan? There's not a katan. Because regarding his father's kind of business situation, he's a katan. He doesn't really know what's going on. Even if he's a gadol, he doesn't really know what the father's doing in business, unless he's involved in the family business. But usually, kids are not so involved in what their father is doing. So he says, okay, but ihaki tanis atzma. What do you mean? It's a tanis atzma, right? Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov's whole thing was that sometimes a person has to swear for his own claim, but that's not his own claim. Right, that's tanis achirin, right? It's not the person admitting that he owes money. Oh, but by the way, I owe half of it. It's the claim is originating from the son, from the guy, the gadol, right? Who's a katan, but he's starting the claim saying you owe this money to my father. So it says tanis achirin v'oda asatzma. It started with the claim of the other guy, of the son, but right, the guy himself is admitting that he only knows half of it. Gemara says, what do you mean? Well, that's all claims are like that. Right? So what do you mean that sometimes a person has to make the kashua with this type of claim? I mean, what are you talking about? Every case, forget family, kids, whatever it is, every time, every mother makes this case is similar to that. So the Gemara there says, therefore no, we're going back, so really go back to what you originally said. Really, we're saying that the kid is actually a katam. Ella, and therefore, rather, right, haka b'de rabba k'mifli. And the machlokas is within rabba. Right, amma rabba, m'pneima, amma torah, mod mitzas, tiny yishava. Right, this is machlok. Why did rabba says, famous statement of rabba, why does a person make a shua mod mitzas? If a person says, you owe me 100, guy says, oh, no, you're 50, he has to swear, because chazaka, right, ain adam meiz panav bifnei bal chovo. A person is not going to be so bold and so chutzpedek to it is staring the guy in the face. That guy lent you money, did you a chesed, right? And then, right, you're gonna, I think if I'm not mistaken, that's how Rashi understands. I don't remember exactly, but either the guy lent you money and now you're gonna be kufli tov. You're gonna, you know, he did you a chesed, now you're messing him over. Or I think according to Tosos that, as we said before, that both of them know that he's lying. Come on, and he's not gonna actually do that. And therefore, really, he wanted to just deny the whole thing, but and the reason he can't say, I don't owe you anything, so he's saying, I only owe you 50, so there's a din d'oraisa that you have to take a shvua. Now, really, everybody, right, we really want to admit, another possibilities that, or he wanted to admit that he owes all of it. And the reason he didn't is because he just needs more time. And he holds, I have to put on a lay, right? I'll get some more money, then I'll pay him back. Right? So the Torah says, right, to make him take a shua, right, so that he will admit to all of it. Okay, great, so wonderful. Now that you have this statement of Rabbah, what's the machlokas? So Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Savar lo shna bo lo shna b'na, right? Eino meis meimanoshach. The guy who owes the money is not going to be chutzpedek neither to the man he owed the money to or his son. Right? Even though the son is coming with the claim, hey, you owe my father money, the guy's still not going to be chutzpah enough to say, I don't know what you're talking about. So the Hilchach, therefore, lav meshev aveda have. Therefore, it's not like it's Hashem's aveda. Right? It's like you're dealing with a claimant over there, and then you have to take a shuah. But the Rabbanan said, no, bohu edeir meiz, aval b'no meiz. The Rabbanan said, what are you talking about? Yeah, he's not going to speak, he's not going to deny the claim to the guy he borrowed money from. But to the kid, a guy could be chutzpah to the guy's kid. Therefore, Midalomeus, for the fact that he wasn't, and he admitted to some of it, so that Meshav Aveda, then it's like doing a chesed, it's like giving back Hashem's Aveda. Right? He could have just very easily said, I don't know what you're talking about, but since he's saying, I know, I owe you half of it, therefore he doesn't have to take a shur. Okay, fine. Now, okay, similar to, again, when we're moving a little bit further on with this concept of a Pesha Asur, Pesha Hitir, right, that if a person says something that we didn't ordinarily know, right, he's almost mechayiv himself or restricting himself, and then he says something else that kind of is a credit to himself, right, he allows something so that we're going to believe him. So similarly, right, along those same lines, right, ha'idim she'amru, the witnesses say that ksav yadeinu who's at, they're analyzing a get or a shtar or whatever. They're called to based in to verify the signatures on the shtar. Right? And they say, yeah, this is our signatures. Aval, but anusim hayinu, ktanim hayinu, psule edus hayinu, but we were puzzled at the time. Meaning we signed it either against our will, we were forced, we'll discuss what that means, or we were ktanim, not people who can sign a shtar, or we were psule edus, we were gamblers, or we were relatives, or whatever. They are believed. Right? Their whole thing is believed. Now, normally, people are not able to say that. But since we don't know, right, we didn't have a previous authentication of these signatures, and what they're doing is they're off the Edom are authenticating the shtar, but then they're taking it back a little bit. That's similar. That's a similar case of Pesha Asher Pesha Hitir. We're going to believe them. But if we already had established that this is their signature, right, from somewhere else, or you had another version of their signature and it matches, then they're not believed. Because again, they're not coming to help us. Right? They're not being a Pesha Asar. Right? We have that information already, and therefore we don't believe them about the fact that they, oh, by the way, I was a cut and I was honest, etc., etc. Again, similar to the case where the father said, right, we know it's the father's field already, like we had in the first Mishnah. So then Rabbi Shua does not admit that they're going to be believed. It's not Apesha Asar who Apesha Yitir. So Amar Rami Bar Chama. Rami Bar Chama says, Lo Shanu Ela Shalo Amru Anusim Hayinu Machmas Mamo. Right, this is only, right, if they did not, Ela Sha Amru, what did I say, Shalo? No, I'm sorry. Lo Shanu Ela She Amru Anusim Hayinu Machmas Mamo. Meaning that this is only in a case, and we'll see exactly which line of the Mishnah he's going on, right? Initially, we assume that we're talking about the Seifa. Right? So this is only, meaning again, the Seifa being that if we know it's their signature already, they're not believed. So Rami Bachama says that's only if they say that the onus, the fact that they were forced, was based on money. But if they were said they were threatened with their lives, and then they are actually believed. So Amalei Rava, Rava said, what? What are you talking about? That they have that kind of koch? There's a concept that Edom, once they have testified in Beis Din, they're no longer able to go and re-testify. So again, you have a shtar there, right? A shtar, they're signing on the shtar, right? And now they're re-testifying about their situation. Right? Then. So how could you believe them in that case? Right? They don't have that cult community, they have that type of power. Right? If we know that this is their shtar, this is their signature, so they are testifying, right, as if this transaction happened, let's say it's a shtar, a halva, or whatever it is, so now they're going to tell you afterwards that the signatures are no good? What do you mean? We have their signatures on the shtar, and they are good. We know that's their signature. But V'chit Eim and Yifel tell me that this concept of Kevin Jigit Shuvay and Chozer Amagid, that an aide is only allowed to testify once, but not twice. Maybe that's Hanimili Alpeh. Maybe that's only by when they speak in Beis Din. I'm a Bishtar Lo, but signatures don't count. That's simply not true. Rav Amar Reish Lagish, Reish Lagish says, Eidim Chazumim Al Ashtar, Nasa Kimishin Echkar, Eidus in Beis Din. Right? A signature is as if there's Eidus, there's testimony given over in Beis Din. It's the same thing as regular spoken testimony. Hello, rather, Rami Brachama, Ki Itmar Reisha Itmar. Really, Rami Brachama says, he's talking about the Reisha. What's the first part of the Mishnah, as we said? Right, Eidim Sha'amru, Kosuk Savi Adinu Zeh, right, again, they said that, yeah, this is our signature, but we were forced. So then, Right, they are believed. So Reilu Ne'emanim, Amar Rabbi Rachama, Lo Shonu El Shamra Nusim Hayinu Machlus Nefashos. That's only if they say that we were threatened with our lives. Our Amru Anusim Hayinu Machlus Mamon, but if they say we were threatened with money, say Ein Ne'emanim, then they are not believed. My time, why not? Because Ina the Mesir Matzmo Rasha, person does not make himself into a Rasha. Because what does it mean we were forced and threatened with money? Man, they accepted a bribe. Right, that's a person who's puzzle edus, a person who can be bribed with money, threatened with money, quote unquote, or bribed or whatever it is. You get the Garashi, right? Ino neman lifsolas atzmo mechezkaso the karuvu etzol atzmo the karuv puzzle edus. Person is not believed to puzzle himself from becoming an aid. So he's in essence testifying, yeah, I accepted a bribe or there's some sort of money foul play involved in my signature on the shtar. Person is not believed to say that they are necessarily a Rasha, and therefore, if it was an onus because of money, so then they are not believed. There would only be the case where it was an onus if they were forced, right? If someone put a gun to their head, then they would be believed that the signatures are no good. But if it was a monetary thing, so then they would not be believed. Okay, we're going to stop here. Tanur Rabbanan goes on to a different topic. Have a great day or night, depending on when you're listening to this.